أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. فليس له اليوم هاهنا حميم ولا طعام إلا من غسلين لا يأكله إلا الخاطئون. فلا أقسم بما تبصرون وما لا تبصرون إنه لقول رسول كريم وما هو بقول شاعر قليلا ما تؤمنون ولا بقول كاهن قليلا ما تذكرون تنزيل من رب العالمين صدق الله العظيم. Last week we left at ayah number 35 of Surah Al-Haqqah. Hopefully today inshallah we can finish till the end of the surah, from 35 to 52. Because mostly the message have been covered in the beginning part of the surah. And as we know that the main theme in the message of the surah is talking about the Day of Judgment, proving the existence of it, proving the reality of it, proving the truthfulness in it and how it will take place, and what is it that believers or human beings in general will have to go through on that day. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after proving in different ways that the Day of Judgment is a reality, it's something that we all have to believe in it, and even if those who do not believe in it will have to face it one day and then they will realize it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is picturing a scene of the Day of Judgment, that a person will be brought on the Day of Judgment who will be a sinner rejecting the Day of Judgment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to the angels, خُذُوهُ فَغُلُّوهُ, take him and chain him up. ثُمَّ الْجَحِيمَ صَلُّوهُ, and then throw him in the hellfire and get a long chain and tie him up in the hellfire because of two reasons. Number one, إِنَّهُ كَانَ لَا يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ الْعَظِيمِ, he did not believe in Allah, the Most High. وَلَا يَحُضُّ عَلَىٰ طَعَامِ الْمِسْكِينَ, and he never used to encourage others to feed the poor people. So we talked up to this part. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, as a result of that, he will have a punishment. Number one, فَلَيْسَ لَهُ الْيَوْمَ هَاهُنَا حَمِيمٌ, today he has no friend over here. لَيْسَ لَهُ الْيَوْمَ هَاهُنَا حَمِيمٌ, today at this place he has no friend, because in the world he was not helping people, so none of the people would like to be his friend today. And at the same time, إِنَّهُ كَانَ لَا يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ الْعَظِيمِ, he did not believe in Allah, so Allah is not his friend either. So that person on that day will have no one to stand on his side. Those people who are with him in this life, because of his wealth or because of any other benefit that thought they can drive from him, they can get out of him, they all left him because they know today he is not of any benefit to us. And in reality, if you look at most of our friendship in this life, you will find that most of these friends are with us only as long as they can get something from us. Many people would like to be our friends because they see what we have, how much wealth we have, what type of profession we have, what we can do for them. Most of the people are our friends because of that. You'll find a lot of time, especially business friends, people who are friends in your business, they will remain your friends as long as you are in that business. And you might feel while you are dealing with those people during that business that these are the closest friends you ever had in your life. As soon as you're out of that business, as soon as your train changed, or you stopped working in that field, you won't see those people anymore. That's it. It's all gone. And this is why Ali radiallahu anhu, who was considered to be one of the very wise people in this ummah, he has said a lot of poems about the friendship. And many of his poems are delivering the message that my friends are my friend as long as I don't have a difficulty. The day they will see me in difficulty, then all will turn against me. And this is exactly what happens. At the time of difficulty, the friends will turn around, they will turn their faces away from you, that he might now ask us for some help. Oh, I don't know what he wants for me now. He might ask me for something. I don't want to give him this. I can do this for him. So, a lot of time, friendship is only limited to benefits. And as soon as the person will think, now the situation have changed and he might need some benefit from me, he might want to get something out of me, the person turns his face away. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us of the same fact. On the day of judgment, every person will turn their face away from us, because they will see us in difficulty. And what do we need? We need some reward. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, no one wants to give you his reward. So neither wife or husband or father or mother or children, no one wants to help. Everyone will just turn away, as they don't even know the person. They will be running away from each other. So innahu falaysa lahu al-yawma hahuna hamim. Today he has no friend. And we know many times a person does something wrong by which, after realizing the mistake he has committed, he even dislikes himself. How did I do it? It was so bad for me to do it. And I can't believe that I did it. It happens to us. Sometimes a person, after committing a mistake, and realizing he himself starts feeling, I don't know, how did I do this? Imagine on the day of judgment, when all the evil deeds that we have performed in our life, they have been put up front. So now, at that point, the person even thinks about him or herself, I don't know, how did I do this? And he dislikes himself. The person is cursing at him at himself. So if a person is disliking himself, how about others? How can others like him at that time, when he does not even like himself? So فَلَيْسَ لَهُ الْيَوْمَ هَا هُنَا حَمِيمٌ وَلَا طَعَامٌ إِلَّا مِنْ غِسْلِينٍ. And the person will have no food on that day. See, the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the two problems he has in this life. لَا يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ. He did not trust Allah. He did not believe in Allah. That was the first problem. The second problem was وَلَا يَحُضُّ عَلَى طَعَامِ الْمِسْكِينِ. He was not encouraging others to feed the poor people. Because of those two things, the result of those two things, number one, because he did not believe in Allah, Allah is not his friend, and of course people will not be his friends. Number two, because he did not encourage others to feed people, he was not feeding others, of course. Not only that he was not feeding people, he did not even encourage others to feed people. It happens many times that people will ask us, I would like to find some poor people, give them some donations, give them some gifts. Other people tell us, you know, you better see who you are giving it to. It's a way of discouraging people from doing a good deed. How many times we find ourselves not doing something good and we don't even like others to do it? A person will tell us, I feel like doing this for the masjid. And we might ask him a question that will discourage the person from doing the work for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is exactly what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. The problems many people have in this world is that not only they don't want to do a good deed, they even discourage others from doing that good deed. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, because of this, وَلَا طَعَامٌ. Since he did not want to feed others, وَلَا طَعَامٌ إِلَّا مِنْغْسْلِينَ. So no one will feed him on that day. And he will not have any food except غِسْلِينَ. What is غِسْلِينَ? غِسْلِينَ is the pus of the people of the hellfire. According to the hadith, when people will be burning into the hellfire, of course, when any part of the body gets burned, it starts swelling and you have a lot of pus in there. And of course, in the hellfire, as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informs us, the person will be itching. And as he will start itching, he will be cutting off himself and all the pus will start dripping off his body. And all the people are going through the same situation, so Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there will be just like a stream of pus passing by. And it will be boiling. A stream of pus. And that is boiling. So the people of the hellfire, as they will see that they are not getting any other food, so they would like to get something to eat, something to drink. And they are calling for it, can get nothing. They will see that a stream that's flowing, but it's of pus. They will have no choice but to go to that stream of pus, get a sip out of it. And they will start drinking their own pus. It seems that it's extremely difficult punishment or a harsh punishment. Why should people go through that? If we really ponder into the ayahs of Al-Quran Al-Kareem, we can very well understand that is nothing wrong that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is doing to people, and for a simple reason that we can now understand it, inshallah, as we talk about it from the ayahs, that what is this pus? Why people are having all of this pus throughout their bodies is because of their evil deeds. They use their body in performing all of those evil deeds, so that's the result. This is what's coming out of these bodies. This is really the result of the deeds, whatever they have done. So it's nothing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is forcing them to it. It's nothing that they did not do it and they have been made to do it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked them not to do these things. The result of good deeds will always come out as we will see good result out of this body in the akhirah. But the result of the evil deeds will come in the form of pus in the akhirah. So of course, every person will get back only what he or she is doing in this life. Person is using his hands in evil deeds, so the hands will be burned. As hands are getting burned, they will have pus. This is out of what? Out of his own deeds. He did something wrong with his feet. The feet are going to be burned because of those deeds, and now he's going to have pus from these feet. This pus is a result of those deeds. So all he's getting is just a result of his own deeds. Nothing else. And why the pus of others? Because that stream will have the pus of all the other people also, and this person will go and drink the pus and the blood of all of those people. Why? Because normally a person who does something wrong, he does not limit his evil deeds to himself. He would like other people to join him also. A person who's eating haram will not just eat it by himself, will try to have 4 or 5 people join him also in that haram. A person who's doing some sin, who would like to commit a crime, he is going to have other 4 or 5 people to join him also in committing that crime. So normally, all the deeds are committed, the evil deeds are committed in a company of other people. In fact, people learn them from others and then they do it only. Normally, generally a person who does not have friends who will encourage him to do evils, he won't go towards evils. Because our nature is pure normally. The only time a person starts going away is when he has those type of friends. He finds a friend who likes smoking a lot. Gradually, the person is sitting in his company all the time. That person is smoking. He never smokes. Gradually, he will find himself would like to hold a cigarette in his hand. Now he will start smoking and increase. So these anything that we see ourselves, most of these things come from friends. Those people who are used to alcohol, it wasn't that the nature asked for it. Their friends were drinking. It was on the same table. They saw people drinking. Let's try it. And they started it. And this is how people get into these type of things. Our nature is clean and pure. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us with clean nature. It's only friends make us get into these type of things. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا طَعَامُ إِلَّا مِنْ غِسْلِينَ. As a result of his deed, he will not have anything to eat or drink except that ghislin, which means the pus of the people of the hellfire. here there is a question that some other ayahs are talking about some other type of food people will have in the hellfire. Just like in the shajarat al-zaqoom, a tree that's called al-zaqoom. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says they will have only this thing to eat, this simply means they will have only these type of items in the hellfire. Nothing of real food. Everything that they will use for food over there will not be really a food. Just like they will go to that stream of pus and will start drinking from it. It's not a food. They will go to those trees that have poisoned fruits and full of thorns, and they will start chewing that. It's not something to eat. So it simply means nothing that deserves to be used as a food over there. People will just start taking things from here and there, whatever they find, they'll start eating those things. لا يأكله إلا الخاطئون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that only sinners will eat these things. I'm not going to make the good people go over there. That's not good for the virtuous people. That's only for those who have committed sins. They use their bodies for these type of things. So this is the result they will get out of their own bodies. Feeding the people, feeding the poor people, helping the needy people, it's one of the very important issues in Islam and one of the very important qualities of a Muslim, of a believer. A quality that unfortunately has been lost in the Ummah nowadays. And really, I don't know if we can even talk to it and people will grasp it and nowadays and can understand what we are talking about, that occasionally we have some type of gatherings in the masajid, and even in those gatherings, the food is with money. You have to pay for the food. So it's really something, if you look at the Islamic values, how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam established it, you would never find Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would try to charge any person for any food or drink. He would try to feed people. Not only he would offer them food, not only he would ask them to come his home and eat, he would go and serve them himself, being a prophet of Allah. In his home, you will see the prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala holding the pot in his hand and is feeding people. It's one of the very important qualities that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught the ummah, and we have totally neglected it and forgot about it. Who would we feed? Our food is normally is only for those who have some value in our eyes. For whatever reason, that person is valuable to us. He means something to us. Either because of a friendship, because of a business, because of some benefits that we might drive out of the prison. Those are the normal people who would come and visit our homes. Other than that, general public, they can get nothing out of us. And how many times we feel that even, for example, during the month of Ramadan, when people would like to feed others, how many times we feel it that it's so difficult, why should I make food for all of these people? We don't even know who comes and eat it. Subhanallah. That's not our worry who eats it. Look at the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A beautiful hadith. When he told Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in, a person puts a garden. He grows a tree. He doesn't even know. His intention is that it's for him, for his personal benefit. He has no intention of feeding anyone else from the tree there or from his garden. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, a bird comes and sits on the tree, eats something from the tree. That's a sadaqah, and this person is getting the reward of a sadaqah. Who ate out of it? A bird. And how many birds he cannot even count. He doesn't even know which birds. Any bird that came and ate out of it. he's getting the reward of a sadaqah. Any insect, how many the insects will eat out of the tree? Any insects get any benefit out of that tree? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that person got a reward for a sadaqah. So if we are getting the reward of a sadaqah from these insects and these animals and these birds, won't we get a reward by people, human beings like us eating it? So if we start worrying about, we don't know who's going to eat it, all kind of people come and eat it, mashallah. It reminds me of a hadith. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam telling the Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in the importance of spending and giving out and not trying to find, getting into the details, who's doing what with it. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there was a person in Bani Israel who gave out a sadaqah. He went out in the darkness of the night and he met the first person he met, he just put that in his hand and he went away. Next morning, that person who got the sadaqah started informing people, someone last night gave me a sadaqah, I'm a wealthy man. So everyone started talking in the town that last night someone gave a sadaqah to a very wealthy person. So this person said, Alhamdulillah, I have given a sadaqah to a wealthy person. So that, who knows, this wealthy person after getting the sadaqah will realize he should give out too. Next day he went out and some money is in his hand. And first person he met, he gave him that sadaqah. Next morning everyone started talking that a person gave sadaqah to a thief. So he said to himself, Alhamdulillah, I gave a sadaqah to a thief now. Who knows, this thief will realize that instead of stealing from people, might be a way that I should go and earn it for myself. And at least go and ask people, people are willing to give. So I don't need to steal it from people. That will stop him from stealing. Next day, he takes some money out, walks out. The first person he met, he gave him that money. And next morning, everyone started talking about a person gave a sadaqah to a prostitute. He says, Alhamdulillah, I have given a sadaqah to her. Because who knows, because of this, she is doing all of that business because to make some money. Who knows, because of this, she will stop doing some haram for that night. So giving a sadaqah, irrespective of whom we give it to, as long as the person is giving it with the pure intention, of course, he's getting his reward. And there is no way that a person will give it out and is not getting out of it anything and no reward out of it. Of course, the condition is our intention has to be clean and pure. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us of this fact. And not only this, if we look at the hadith, we find much more emphasis on this feeding the people than we can even think about it. Inshallah, I will mention a very important hadith about it after the salah. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. فليس له اليوم هاهنا حميم ولا طعام إلا من غسلين لا يأكله إلا الخاطئون.
We were talking about these ayahs before Salah and I was mentioning the importance of feeding others in Islam according to the Sharia of Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment will call upon a person and will ask him a very amazing question. That person had never expected to be asked that question. Because other people he was seeing, other people are being questioned. And the questioning of the other people is, why did you do that for? What did you do with the salah? What did you do with the zakah? Why did you harm people? And these type of things. And all of a sudden, this person will be asked this question. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask him, Yabna Adam, O son of Adam, Istata'amtuka falam tut'imni. Do you remember one day, I asked you for food, I was hungry, and you never fed me. So the person will be amazed. Ya Allah, I can't understand. What are you saying? وكيف أطعمك وأنت رب العالمين. How can I feed you, Ya Allah? You are the Lord of the universe. You are the provider. You are the creator. How did you become hungry? And how can I feed you, Ya Allah? This person will, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reply, إِسْتَطْعَمَكَ عَبْدِي فُلَانٌ فَلَمْ تُطْعِمْ. One of my servants came to you, and he asked you for food, and you never fed him. أَمَا عَلِمْتَ أَنَّكَ لَوْ أَطْعَمْتَهُ لَوَجَدْتَ ذَلِكَ عِنْدِي. Don't you know, if you would have fed that person, I would have given you that food over here in the Jannah. But you rejected that person, I'm rejecting you also today. يَبْنَ آدَمْ إِسْتَسْقَيْتُكَ فَلَمْ تَسْقِنِي. O son of Adam, I asked you for some drink and you refused to give me a drink. He will say, Ya Allah, how were you thirsty? Why would you need a drink? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, one of my servants asked you for a drink and you refused to give him the drink. So imagine, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is considering feeding others is just like giving it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when a person is feeding people, providing clothing to others, providing food to others, any type of necessary needs of the human beings in this world, if we are providing any of the needs to people, we have to realize that it's just like giving it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and our dealing is not really with this person anymore. Our dealing is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore, we should not even expect anything back from the person. We should expect it from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As I was reading the history of Islamic institutes, I went across of a saying from one of the scholars who was running Islamic school. He said, when people, we accept the zakah, he used to make this statement, and he used to make this announcement. I'm sure these type of announcements worked only in those days. His announcement was, we would accept the zakah, sadaqat, and donations only from the people who give us thinking that we are favoring them by taking it from them. And if anyone gives us anything thinking that he's favoring us, please do not give us anything. And he used to say that we take your zakat and sadaqat and your donations, then you put that responsibility on our shoulders to put it at the right place to dispose of according to the Sharia of Islam. Otherwise, we go to hellfire and you go to Jannah by spending it. He said, I'm not going to accept that from you, that I misuse your money and you go to Jannah because of spending the same money and I go to Jahannam because of misusing that money. And really, if we look at it, it's a reality. Those people who are running organizations, running masajid, running schools, any type of charitable organizations where they collect any type of funds, they do not want to go towards hellfire, wal-ayazu billah, because of the same money that the person will go to Jannah because of spending that very same money. The donor will go to Jannah because he spent it and he gave you the responsibility. Now, you misuse the money, even a single penny. And this was always the statements of the scholars of Islam who are in this type of work. A single penny misused in this type of Islamic work. It's extremely difficult to get out of that difficult situation on the Day of Judgment, because you don't know how many people have their share in that penny. You have been collecting donations from millions of people, at least from thousands of people. And after collecting it from thousands of people, if you misused $1, we all know that any ibadah done in the masjid, all the people who have the masjid will be getting the reward for it. So any sajda done in the masjid, all the people who have helped this masjid will be getting the reward for it. At the same time, any dollar misused of the masjid, all the people who donated it, who have helped the masjid in any way, they have their share in that $1. on the Day of Judgment, that person will have thousands of people standing in front of him asking him, why did you misuse that money? How can he satisfy those thousands of people? If you take it, if you take a loan from one person and do not return it to the person, even if it is a dollar, it is extremely difficult to get out of that situation on the Day of Judgment. If it is only from one person, imagine what if it is from thousands of people. So, feeding the people, I was talking about, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala considers fulfilling people's need is having a direct deal with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when a person is helping others, he's really having a direct deal with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is not now only this person who's taking it from him. But I was mentioning a point that we need to keep in mind, the people who would take this help from us, they are really favoring us by taking the help from us. As Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informs us in the hadith, before the Day of Judgment, a time will come that wealthy people would want to give their zakah and they don't know who would accept the zakah. Because they earned proper people who really deserve the zakah. And unfortunately nowadays if we look around, so many times our sadaqat and zakat and fitrah have been given to those people who do not deserve it. People who have so much alhamdulillah that they can give. You find that our sadaqat went to those people. So, if really it goes to the right place, it's a blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we should be thankful to the people who are taking it from us. At least our responsibility is over. And now it's the responsibility of a person who takes it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, feeding others is extremely important, and feeding doesn't just mean food, any type of need, fulfilling the needs of people in any way, in form and shape. It's really one of the greatest deeds regarded in Islam, and will be one of the greatest reward a person will have for it in Akhirah. And therefore, this should be one of the things we should try for, that find people, look for people who are in any kind of need, and fulfill those people's need. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after picturing the scene of the Day of Judgment, that there will be people on the Day of Judgment who will be going to Jannah, other people who will be going to Jahannam, al-ayazu billah, because of rejecting the Akhirah, because of rejecting to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَا أُقْسِمُ بِمَا تُبْصِرُونَ, I swear by everything, by whatever you see, وَمَا لَا تُبْصِرُونَ, and by whatever you do not see. He's taking oath by what? Whatever you see and whatever you do not see. In simple words, of everything that exists in the world. Because either we see things or we don't see them. So in other words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking oath of everything. Which means, is one of the greatest oath that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes in Quran al-Kareem. Is an oath of not only few things, is an oath of everything, whether you see it or not, or you cannot see it. And what the oath is about? إِنَّهُ لَقَوْلُ رَسُولٍ كَرِيمٍ, that indeed, this is the word, which means this Qur'an, is the word of an honored messenger. This ayah says, Qur'an is the word of an honored messenger. Whereas we know Qur'an is the word of Allah. What does this mean? In this ayah, Rasul does not refer to Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It refers to Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam. That it has been said by Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam simply means it has been revealed through Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it's just like when we say about certain things, such Imam Bukhari said this, Imam Abu Hanifa said this, Imam Shafi'i said this, it does not mean that they said it and they invented something new in Islam. It simply means They have narrated this. When we say Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi said that Salatul Janazah will have 4 takbir, does it mean that Imam Bukhari invented this way of performing Salatul Janazah? No. It simply means from the hadith he's telling us that the way of performing Salatul Janazah is that you will have 4 takbirat in Salatul Janazah. We say Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Shafi'i, Imam Malik said that there will not be no sajda or ruku' in Salatul Janazah. What does that mean? It doesn't mean that they invented this way of performing Salatul Janazah. They have narrated this. They said it because they learned it from the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Same thing. إِنَّهُ لَقَوْلُ رَسُولٍ كَرِيمٍ. It was said by the... It was the word of an honored messenger. Simply means Jibreel alayhi salatu was salam said it to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But of course he did not merit himself. He got it from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he conveyed the message to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَمَا هُوَ بِقَوْلِ شَعْرٍ. And it's not the word of a poet. Arabs used to, when they realized that they cannot accept the challenge of the Quran, there is no way that they can take this challenge, so they started blaming Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with different things. One of the things was that these are the words of a poet. He's just making poems. They also knew that this is not a poem. Because in poems, there are so many rules you have to follow, keeping all the sentences at the same level, same size. So many things that they have. Let's look at the ayahs of Al-Quran al-Kareem. Some ayahs are short, extremely short. Some ayahs are extremely long. And has nothing to do with poetry. وَمَا هُوَ بِقَوْلِ شَاعِرٍ. Is not a word of a poet. قَلِيلًا مَا تُؤْمِنُونَ. Very little that you believe. Did the kuffar believe at all? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, very little that you believe. What does this mean? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Quran, وَلَئِن سَأَلْتَهُمْ. If you ask them, مَنْ خَلَقَهُمْ. Who created them? They will say, Allah. So that simply means, they had few beliefs. But few beliefs do not help. And they do not make a person believer until the person will believe in everything. Remember, when it comes to Iman, the definition of Iman is believing in everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said and Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have said. And kufr is rejecting anything out of the whole Quran, out of whatever Allah said and and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. So kufr is even rejecting a doubt. And Iman is accepting everything, including each and every doubt that comes from there. So we have to realize this. Sometimes we take a person as a mu'min, a person who rejected few things of Iman. We say, he prays like us. They come to our masajid. They perform the salah like us. They call the adhan like us. That does not make them believers. Rejecting even one thing out of Iman keeps the person out of the faith. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about the disbelievers, قَلِيلًا مَا تُؤْمِنُونَ. Very little that you believe. Look into the ayahs of the Quran. Again and again Allah reminds us that if you ask them, مَنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Who created the heavens and the earth? They will say, Allah. لَيَقُولُنَ اللَّهِ. This was their faith. This was their belief. They never claimed that their idols created the heavens and the earth. They used to say Allah created them. But they were rejecting the other beliefs.
وَمَا هُوَ بِقَوْلِ كَاهِنْ وَلَا بِقَوْلِ كَاهِنْ قَلِيلًا مَا تَذَكَّرُونَ. And it's not even the word of a fortune teller. Quran is not the word of a fortune teller. قَلِيلًا مَا تَذَكَّرُونَ. Very little that you understand. تَنْزِيلٌ مِّن رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. It has been revealed by the Lord of the universe.
And now the next ayahs are really proving the truthfulness of this statement. Allah said, is not a word of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Is not something that he made it up. Is not a word of a fortune teller. Is not a poetry. Now look at what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And before looking into the ayah, just quickly try to remember the greatness of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What a great person he was. how close he was to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what type of ibadah he was performing to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how much he was standing before Allah with his swollen feet to do the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, crying during the night, to praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Such a great person. And now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking to him, showing us the greatness of Allah now. We know Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was great, but these ayahs, the next ayahs, are showing us that Allah is even greater. And when he talks to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you feel, you can realize that if someone can talk to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam like this, he has to be the greatest of all. وَلَوْ تَقَوَّلَ عَلَيْنَا بَعْضَ الْأَقَاوِيلِ, if he would start fabricating any false statements against us, لَأَخَذْنَا مِنْهُ بِالْيَمِينِ, we will seize him with his right hand. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling the people that if Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will start making any statements of his own, without we will deliver the message to him, and he would just start making it up, لَأَخَذْنَا مِنْهُ بِالْيَمِينِ, we will grab him. We are going to punish him. We won't just let him go like that. ثُمَّ لَقَطَعْنَا مِنْهُ الْوَتِينِ, then we will cut off his life artery, which simply means we will kill him. I will just take him back. A true prophet of Allah, a prophet who can show the miracles, and then if he tries to turn away, Allah says, I will not let him live in the world anymore. Imagine, if it was the word of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, would he say these type of things about himself? Then he will be just proving his greatness. He won't be saying things like this, that Allah says that if he would make up anything out of his own, this is how I'm going to punish him. But of course, this is to tell the human beings, it's impossible for a true prophet of Allah to make anything of his own. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if I start punishing anyone, فَمَا مِنْكُم مِّنْ أَحَدٍ عَنْهُ حَاجِزِينَ, then none of you people can protect him from my punishment. وَإِنَّهُ لَتَذْكِرَةٌ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ, surely this Qur'an is a reminder for pious people. تَذْكِرَة, reminder. For who? لِلْمُتَّقِينَ, is a reminder for pious people. Look at the beginning of the Qur'an, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ, there is no doubt in this book, but this book is a guidance for who? For muttaqeen, for the God-fearing people. And here Allah says, تَذْكِرَةٌ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ, this book is a reminder for the pious people. I don't know if I explained this before in these sessions. What does this muttaqeen means over here? Why Quran says that this is a reminder for muttaqeen, and why Quran says it's a guidance for muttaqeen, for the pious people only? Isn't Quran a guidance for all the human beings? Is the Qur'an a reminder for all the human beings, including the kuffar? Then why Qur'an says, and why Allah says in Qur'an al-Kareem, that this is for pious people? Very easy way to understand this is, if there is a book, you pick up the book, it says on it, grade 10. Now, you ask the people, what this book is for? You say this is, the answer will be, this is a math book for grade 10. Simply means that people who are in grade 10, they are supposed to learn this book now. People who are in grade 10, they are supposed to learn this book. The grade 10 book simply means this is their course for this year. Tazkiratul lil-muttaqeen means that pious people will have to go back and learn it. If you do not learn this book, you are not in this course yet. You are not in muttaqeen yet. You are keeping yourself out of muttaqeen. You do not learn the lessons from the book, you are not in grade 10. You are not in muttaqeen class yet. You are out. And who will benefit from it? Al-muttaqeen. the pious people will benefit from it. If we have any piety, if we have, we fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the book will not remain on our shelves. We'll pick it up and read it. If we are concerned of what our beloved Allah, the Creator, wants from us, we'll make sure that we pick it up and read it. How many times we receive letters from different agencies at our workplace or at our home that is concerning the work, we are not going to pick it up, take the letter, put it on the shelf, that I will read it once I get the time. It's an important letter. Sometimes it might also say on it, important. And we'll make sure that right away we read it, find out what does it say, how to deal with it. And now if we don't know how to deal with it, we'll start going around to ask people, I don't know, how can I reply to this letter? If need be, we'll go and pay the lawyer that I don't know what to deal with the situation. This is the letter I have received. And it looks like it's going to get me in a hardship. So please help me with the situation. I'll pay you for it. Imagine, Quran again and again is reminding us of a difficult day that's coming. How many times we care to pick it up and see, how can I protect myself then? Let me find a person who can explain to me if I cannot understand it. وَإِنَّهُ لَتَذْكِرَةٌ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. This is a reminder for muttaqeen. Pious people will go back to it, will get a reminder from it, and will understand it. And those who do not care, they are keeping themselves out of that class of wal-muttaqeen. They don't want to be in the class of wal-muttaqeen. They are not going to study it. The field is not for them. This is not their class book. This is not in their course. Because they are not muttaqeen, they are keeping themselves out of it.
وَإِنَّا لَنَعْلَمُ أَنَّ مِنْكُمْ مُكَذِّبِينَ. Allah says, and I know that there are some of you who would even reject it.
Some of you will even reject this book. Not only the disbelievers, even out of the believers, there will be people who will go through the ayahs of Al-Quran Al-Kareem and will say, it's not for me. This is not for me. This is for the other people. I cannot do it.
وَإِنَّهُ لَحَسْرَةٌ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ.
And finally, this book will become a despair for the disbelievers, a mean for them to lose hope in everything finally, because as the kuffar will see the believers going into the Jannah in Akhirah, of course they will lose hope in every rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they will know because they did not do what they were supposed to do, and today they cannot expect anything either from it.
وَإِنَّهُ لَحَقُّ الْيَقِينَ.
It's an absolute truth. فَسَبِّحْ بِسْمِ رَبِّكَ الْعَظِيمِ. So keep on glorifying the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the greatest. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَسَبِّحْ بِسْمِ رَبِّكَ. Glorify the name of Allah. What is the name of Allah? Glorify the name of your Lord. What is the name of our Lord? The name of our Lord is Allah. And from this ayah we can also understand that the word Allah by itself is a dhikr of Allah. It's a type of dhikr. As Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have said in a hadith, which is in Sahih al-Muslim, لا تقوم الساعة, the day of judgment will not take place as long as there are people who are saying Allah, Allah. So it's a very important type of dhikr. To keep on, just keep our tongue busy saying Allah, Allah, Allah. Keep on reminding our souls of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the virtuous people in Quran al-Kareem. And he says, الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ. Those are the people when Allah is mentioned. When? Who's mentioned? Allah. ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ. When Allah is mentioned, وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ. Their hearts start trembling with the fear of Allah. They remember the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How can we have these qualities? It's something that we find, we take the name of Allah, and we use the name of Allah day and night, and we don't even feel that we have taken a special name. If someone will take the name of your children in front of you, all of a sudden you'll see a movement in your body. Your heart will have a movement there. Something went on. It's just like some current went through your body. Someone said something very special. That name, very special name for me. What about this person? What about him or her? You took my children's name. Someone takes Allah's name. Nothing happens. No one feels that he is missing something. No one feels that, oh, this is something that I'm looking for. This is what I have devoted my life for. You took the name of Allah. My life is devoted for him. Day and night I'm working to please him. You took that name. This is the greatest name in the world. This is the greatest name ever exist in the world. And you have taken that name. Subhanallah. It's a great name. But nothing happens. We say Allah. People will say Allah. People will remind us to fear Allah. People will remind us to love Allah. Nothing happens. We hear it as if it was something people asked us to do, something that I really don't know how to do it. I cannot do it. But remember, there are ways of achieving this also. There are ways of achieving it. And we need to use those means of achieving this. And the most important way of achieving it is that you be with those who have the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you see, what does the love of Allah means? This love of Allah will not come through books. The love of Allah will not come through the internet and through these programs that talk about Islam. This will not come through the flyers and through different types of text and different type of messages that we keep on hearing. It will come only from those who already have that love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their hearts. Just like if you are sitting by a light, you read a lot about the light. Keep on reading as many books as you want and hear as many lectures as you want about the light. You will not have the light. You will only have it once you turn it on. And you go to a place where the light is on. Otherwise, you can write the whole book about what are the benefits of the light, but still you don't have no light. Still you are in the darkness. You can sit in the dark room and keep on hearing a nice lecture or give a nice lecture about the importance of having the light, but you will not have the light there. Having the light is only through having that connection there. You have to have the proper connections and then put the light on. Same thing. You keep on reading as much as you want about this love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We all know, we all say also, this deen of Allah is a nur, is a light. This light came to us through Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Therefore, again and again, Quran says about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he came to you with the light, with the nur. And therefore, now you can very well understand the ayah of Surah Al-Ahzab, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhan nabi, inna arsalnaka shahida, wa mubashira, wa nadira, wa da'iyan ila Allahi bi idhnihi, wa sirajan munira. Siraj means a strong light. Just like a sunlight. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving the example of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, just like the sunlight. So whoever wants that light of sun, whoever wants to benefit from it, has to get it from the sun. He won't be getting it by giving lectures about it or by writing books about it. So this light of nur, this nur of iman and love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come only through that source. And this is the reason. That is the reason that Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'een are considered the highest group of ummah that ever existed and that will ever exist. The reason is, even if they have spent only a minute with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they are higher than the whole ummah. We can do ibadah throughout our lives. The whole ummah after Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'een. If we all get together, put our ibadahs together, all of our salah, tahajjud, prayer, dua, everything together, we will not equal a Sahabi who spent a single moment with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We will not equal a Sahabi who took the Shahada in the presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or took the Shahada anywhere else and he came and he saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he left. We cannot equal just that Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The reason is, he was close to the sun. And he benefited directly from the sunlight. We being so far away from that sunlight, how can we equal that person? That's the reason. So he got the nur from the right source. And even if we get it, we will be getting it by connecting our connection over there with the same light. So I was saying, the best way of having that taqwa, best way of being of those al-muttaqeen, is be with al-muttaqeen. This is the reason Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Quran al-Kareem tells us, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu attaqullah, O you who believe, be pious, fear Allah, and how to achieve it? وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ. Be with the sadiqeen. Be with those who have it in their hearts so you can get it from them. So, this is the way of getting it. And the second way that will help us getting it is remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the darkness of the night. Remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, some drops of tears coming out of our eyes, remembering the greatness of Allah and the sins that we are committing, how we are disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How we are going, how far we are going away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we remember that, believe me, there is no way that you would try to remind yourself those things in the darkness of the night and you won't see the tears coming out of your eyes. And not necessarily, really, tears simply are a sign that you have a special feeling. Just that feeling by itself is a great feeling. And that feeling is looking at our shortcomings, looking at the greatness of Allah, looking at how hard Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam worked for this deen, and how we are going far away from his ways, and we are destroying it really. We are destroying his efforts. So, if we start thinking about those things, these are the things that will make us closer to Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it will give us an opportunity to have the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our heart and to be close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَسَبِّحْ بِسْمِ رَبِّكَ الْعَظِيمِ. Glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your Lord, who is the greatest. Remember when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talked to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one of the last surahs that were revealed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ. And the message there is, وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا. When you see a lot of people coming into Islam, then your responsibility is, فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ. Now keep on glorifying the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Keep on remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَاسْتَغْفِرْ. And keep on doing a lot of istighfar. So this is our responsibility as the followers of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that keep busy in doing the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, doing istighfar, and for us, an additional thing, keep on sending blessings on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as he has so many favors on us. In fact, everything that we have, everything that's lightened up in the world is because of the light of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and because of what we got from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide all of us to Surat al-Mustaqeem and give all of us tawfiq to follow the Sharia of Islam and the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِسَائِرِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَالْمُسْلِمَاتِ وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.